Go with me back to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." He said, do it with fear and trembling, but work out your own salvation. Now, is the Apostle Paul saying what it sounds like he's saying? The same man who said, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The same man who said, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." The same man who said, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." The same man who said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Is that same man now saying, work out your own salvation? Go to work doing the things that need to be done in order for you to be saved. You go accomplish your own salvation. Let's look at this verse. This is a favorite verse for those who love to work out their own salvation. Let's look at it in the context of the other verses around it. In chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He's not saying that right there, is he? He's not saying work out your own salvation. He said, God started the work, and God will perform that work all the way to the end. So he's not saying it right there. Now in chapter 2, the verses leading up to what we just read, chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." He took the sin of all of his people and laid it on himself. He took the humiliation. He took the guilt. Have you ever felt guilty over your own sin? You ever felt guilty? Have you ever been ashamed? Ever? He took all of that shame and all of that guilt and all of that sorrow and all of that misery, and he laid it on himself. That's what relieves the guilt from us. That's what lifts the weight off of us. He took that, laid it on himself. Verse 8 says, "Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's not saying it right there, is he? He's not saying work out your own salvation right there. He said Christ came and he finished the work of salvation when he laid down his life. He finished it when he laid down his life. Because he did that, God has highly exalted him. He is already exalted. It's over. It's over. All right, now let's look at the verse immediately after work out your own salvation. Verse 13 says, "For." That word means because, meaning this came first. I say verse 12 because of verse 13. Verse 12 is the result of verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the answer is no. The answer is no. Paul is not saying that our salvation is dependent on our own works, but he is saying something. He is saying something. Verse 12 is not a wasted verse. It's not an irrelevant verse. He is saying something. Now, what is he saying? He's saying this. Now that you are a child, now that I am a child, we have been adopted. Now that we have been adopted into the family of God by the blood of Christ, it's time for us to grow in grace. That's what he's saying. You're a child. You belong to me. You're saved. You're safe. It's over. Now it's time to grow in grace. That's what he's saying. Like all healthy, nourished children do, it's time for us to grow. It's time for us to grow. He said in verse 13, God has wrought a work in us. God has done something in us. And there's a result that comes from his work. What does the Spirit of God perform in a sinner? God comes to a sinner. His Spirit enters that sinner. And what does the Spirit of God bring to the child of God? Look back just a few pages at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." It's love. The fruit of God's Spirit. God's Spirit produced something. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Spirit brought love to us. Verse 22 says, joy. Why did Christ despise the shame and endure the cross? Why did he do that? We know he died. Why did he do that? Hebrews 12 says, for the joy set before him. That is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. One of these days, we are going to be filled with God's Spirit. We're not going to be hindered by the flesh. The flesh is going to drop, and we will have a spiritual body. And that spiritual body is going to be joy, love. It's not just going to have joy. It's going to be joy. It's going to be love. As he is, that's how we are going to be. love and joy. Verse 22 says, peace. Right after he arose, he came into his disciples. They were all in that upper room. They were scared. They were sad, shocked. He entered into them. The first thing that he said was, peace be unto you. Peace has been brought to you. Verse 22 says, long suffering. Peter wrote, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Thank God he is patient and long suffering. Aren't you so glad for that? Thank God he is nothing like me. Thank God his patience doesn't wear thin. You know, you ever hear your dad or mom say, you're trying my patience? Thank God he is long suffering. That's our salvation. Verse 22 says, gentleness. I love how God the Father said in Isaiah 42, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about his servant, his elect. He said concerning him, he said, a bruised reed shall he not break. Don't you love that? And the smoking flax shall he not quench. Gentle. Gentle. I deserve to be put out. That smoking flax deserves to be. It's not going to do it. Verse 22 says, goodness. The Spirit convinces the sinner that there's none good but God. Verse 22 says, faith. The Spirit brings that faith and the child of God cries. He's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. Verse 23 says, meekness. Our Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. And then verse 23 says, temperance. Our Lord said, and lowly in heart. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Now look at verse 25 right here in Galatians 5. He said, if we live in the Spirit, if God's Spirit has come to us and produced life in us, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is exactly what Paul is saying in Philippians 2. That's what he's saying in Philippians 2. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Work out what God has already worked in. He said, work out your own salvation. Work out what God has already worked in. This is how Christ dealt with us. This is what he brought to us. If this is what he poured into our cup, then may it run over. May it spill out. Now, my children, both of them, have a desire to grow. They want to be bigger. They want to be taller. They want to be older. I had an agreement with Sophie and she broke it. She didn't hold up her end of the bargain. When she was 4, her birthday came and I told her I did not want her turning 5. I was not going to allow her to turn 5. And she wanted to and I said, I'm sorry. We're not doing that this year. I would rather you stay 4. So we went back and forth she finally said, if you'll let me turn 5, I won't turn 6, 7, or 8. Isn't that what you said? And I said, that's a deal. You can turn 5. Well, the next year came, her birthday came, and she turned 6 on me. And I said, Sophie, we had a deal. She said, Daddy, please. I said, okay. I let her turn 6. My children want to grow. So do God's children. Please. Abba, please. Now, we all know she's going to grow, right? He knows that too. Please, please. We have a heart to grow in His grace, don't we? Don't you want that? Don't you want to grow through the nourishment of His Spirit? Don't you want that? I have some 8mm footage. When I was a kid, we had one of those 8mm video cameras, no sound, you know. Me and my dad standing in front of the bathroom. He's standing in front of the bathroom mirror. I'm kneeling on the laboratory, the counter. Both of us just have shaving cream packed all over our face. I had a toy razor, no blade in it. Here, we both are, you know, if he did this side, I did this side. He did that side, I did that side. You know why I did that? I wanted to be just like him. I wanted to be just like him. Do you know what children of the heavenly King want? They want to be just like him. Wouldn't you love to be rid of the body you're in right now? Wouldn't you love to be freed from the sluggish bondage of this flesh, the heavy weight of sin that's just sucking us down? God's children want to grow in grace and be conformed to the image of Christ. They want to be mature. They want to be complete. That's what the Scripture means by the word perfect. It means spiritually mature. Look with me over at Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 43. Our Lord said, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies." Why? Because that's what He did. That's what He did. I'm living proof of it. He said, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Grow in that grace that He's given you. Grow in that grace. Look at Ephesians 4 with me. Ephesians 4, verse 11. "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the spiritual maturity, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry." That's why he gives that gift. That's why He gives His Spirit, His grace, that maturity, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, enter into this verse with me. Verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a spiritually mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can you imagine that? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're going to grow up into Him, into His fullness. When God plants a seed, when He plants a seed in the heart of His child, in His good time, when He's ready, He causes that seed to grow. And that growth inside the child forces growth on the outside of the child. That's what happens. God's work in works its way out. It does. It works its way out. And that's what Paul's saying in Philippians 2. He's telling us we would be wise to recognize that this is the result of His work. We would be wise to desire it, to pray for it, beg for it, and nurture it. Nurture it. Here's a prime example. God gives faith, doesn't He? God gives faith. That's the only way it comes. God gives faith. God puts faith in the heart of a sinner. What did God inspire James to say? Faith without works is dead. Where did the faith come from? God did it. God put it there. And He said, faith without works is dead. What God works in will work out. It just will. If it does not work out, then there's no evidence that God has ever worked in. And that's why His people cry. That's why we cry. Make it grow. Cause it to grow. Cause that grace to grow. You've given grace to me. Cause it to grow. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You put faith in here. Make it grow. Cause me to grow. Make it grow and then cause me to grow in it. Our Lord said in Luke 12, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Now, the older our girls get, the more they grow up, the more Hannah and I require of them. That's natural, right? The more we require of them. They have responsibilities now. They didn't when they were too young. But they have to make their bed. They have to make their bed. That's something we tell them they have to do, right? You have to make your bed. Isn't that right? Now, they don't have to make their bed in order to get my DNA and be my child. I have never made a list of chores for them to do and said, if you complete this list, you can have my DNA and scientifically be recognized as my child. That is impossible. There's nothing they could do to be my child. Nothing. There is no list of chores that they could do to be my child. They have my blood in them. That's what makes them my child. Because they are my children, I tell them, you have to make your beds. Because you are my children, this is what I want you to do. I don't go into anybody else's house. I don't go knock on anybody else's door, go to the kids' room and say, now, kids, get in here. Got to make your beds. They're not my children. I say that to them because they are my children. They are my children. They would be wise also to heed that instruction. They would be wise to give diligence to it, wouldn't they? Look right here at the end of Ephesians 4. down through this chapter, Paul was telling them on the authority of God, do this and don't do that. In verse 28, he said, let him that stole steal no more. Don't do it. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't have a filthy mouth. Don't do it. Verse 30, he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Can this old flesh grieve God's Holy Spirit? Can it do that? Can it grieve God's Holy Spirit? Our Lord said to the church at Ephesus, we're here in Ephesians right now. Our Lord said to the church at Ephesus in Romans 2, I have somewhat against thee. He said, if you don't stop doing what you're doing, I'm going to remove the candlestick from you. Isn't that terrible? In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many have died. I've just removed them. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, Lord, keep me. Keep me from it. He said, you are my child, and now it's time to act like it. It's time to act like it. That's not hard to understand, is it? I understand that perfectly in my own family. This is This is so. This instruction, this growth, these commandments from our Lord, they're not recommendations. I've never given them a recommendation to make their bed. These things are so, and these things slay me. These things absolutely slay me. And I'm going to tell you why. I cannot live up to His demands. I cannot live up to His demands. This old flesh right here cannot do what He requires of me. Read through these. You know, we went to love. You know, our Lord said, love your neighbor as yourself. I've never done that in my life. Never. And if I say I have, I'm now a liar. Didn't we just read, don't lie? I cannot do what He requires of me. As I look down through these things and say, this is what I want my children to do. As I see that, I realize I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I wish I could. I want to. I do want to. I wish that I could work out what He has worked in. He has put faith in here. I wish I could use it. Wouldn't you love to use it? Wouldn't you love to just have faith? Have faith. Why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. Wouldn't you love to just have faith? He put love in here. Wouldn't you love to just love? Forgiveness. Wouldn't you love to just forgive? Just forgive. How to perform that which is good, though, I find not. What I wish I did, that I don't do. What I wish I did not do, that's exactly what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. I don't think that I can work out what God has worked in. I just don't think I can work out what God has worked in. If anybody else agrees with me, go with me back to the text. Verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." That's great news. That is great news. Everything He has demanded of you, He has performed for you. Isn't that relieving? Every single thing. Paul just said, "You've always obeyed." You've always obeyed. How? God obeyed for you. God obeyed for you. In Christ our God, you are perfect. You are complete. You are mature. So he said in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." We have no reason to complain about anything, do we? It's always good news. It's always good news. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." He said, "You all shine as lights in the world." I don't see that in myself. But buddy, I see that in Christ. That is a light shining in the world. Verse 16 says, "Holding forth the word of life." Holding forth the word of life. "That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." I believe this verse of Scripture right here, I believe you're going to love this. This verse of Scripture sums up everything he's saying. And I'm going to close with this. Go to Hebrews 13. This perfectly sums up everything he's saying. Hebrews 13, verse 20. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, He will make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." All I know to say to that is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do want to be a better follower of Christ. I want to be a better child of God. I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in every single one of these things. But knowing the way I am, all I can say is thank you. Thank you for doing everything that needed to be done. And if He does produce any growth in here, if it is evidenced that there is any growth right here, He gets all the glory for it. Every ounce of it. And we'll just say thank you. And we'll just keep saying, please continue to make it grow. May the Lord make it grow. All right, let's stand together.